Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/necessaryblackness. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from. You can access it from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
I would like to give thanks to the ancestors, known and unknown, those who have paved the way for us to survive this moment of time and to have a reference point to use as a blueprint to deal with these hellish times we are living in. I would also like to give honor and reverence to the woman of the universe for your superior work, for bringing forth the spiritual information through the triple stage of darkness of your womb and giving birth to God. We would like to give reverence to the universe and praises to the indigenous. My name is Raheem Shabazz, and this is Necessary Blackness Podcast.
Necessary Blackness Podcast, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. with award-winning journalist and filmmaker Raheem Shabazz. This podcast is only for those who are unapologetic, because the mind of the conscious man or woman recognizes no monopoly on truth. Truth is relative and always to be sought.
Scrub Nail Boutique should be the reason why you break up with your nail salon. Ladies, if you want to get your nails done in the comfort of a safe haven atmosphere, Scrub Nail Boutique is the location. The grass is always greener where the products are. You should be treated better. You deserve better. Get an unlimited manicure membership for only $49 per month. Scrub Nail Boutique, located at 722 South Broadway, Baltimore, Maryland, 21231.
Peace and Black Power family, this is your host, Raheem Shabazz, and I am here for another episode of Necessary Blackness Podcast. And today, we have a special guest in the building, and that special guest is Marcia. Yes, she's back to join us. How are you doing, Marcia?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. And for those that don't know, Marcia has a radio show that is called Civil Rights and Civil Wrongs.
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about your show.
Civil Rights and Civil Wrongs is a broadcast. It's a program where we talk about racial issues. We talk about things that impact the Black community. Something is controversial, political, all of those things.
That's what it is, Civil Rights and Civil Wrongs. But today, we're going to talk about someone that I was dramatically opposed to, didn't really understand what her position was, what she was trying to do, if she was trying to do anything, whether it was for self-gratification or if she was really on the people's side and really trying to be on the right side of history. And that person is Omarosa.
Right. Omarosa.
That's the hottest topic in the news, and most people will say the reason why she's making these press runs is because she has a book out, and it's called Unhinged, an insider account of the Trump's White House.
Right.
And she had done several interviews, and one particular one that stood out for me was Meet the Press. And the reason why this particular interview stood out for me, because he asked some hard questions, and he wasn't biased. You know, he pushed and went there, and I think she gave the answers that was satisfying to me. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a quick clip of that exchange, and then we're going to come back, and me and Marcia, we're going to unpack that. Y'all cool with that? Of course y'all are. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, stay tuned. We're going to go to this clip. This is Raheem Shabazz of Necessary Blackness Podcast, and I'm sitting here with Marcia.
Good Sunday morning. She was a reality TV star who wound up working in a reality TV star's White House. By her own admission, Omarosa Manigault-Newman and Donald Trump used each other. In her new book, Unhinged, an Insider's Account of the Trump White House, Omarosa writes, "Donald and I had a symbiotic relationship, as I've said. I gave him ratings, and he gave me, a woman of color, opportunities.
I adore you. We've had tremendous success together. You helped make me a star. Dennis, she helped make me a star. But Omarosa, you're fired.
In 2016, she joined the Trump campaign as director of African American outreach on the trail and subsequently as the most senior African American woman on the White House staff. And she became one of Mr. Trump's most vocal supporters.
When I say Trump train, I want you to say choo-choo. Y'all ready?
Every critic, every detractor will have to bow down to President Trump.
But since she was fired in December, she's turned on President Trump. And now in her new book, she calls the president a racist, a bigot, and a misogynist, and says he is losing his mental faculties. The White House has fired back in a statement, quote, "This book is riddled with lies and false accusations. It's sad that a disgruntled former White House employee is trying to profit off these false attacks." And Omarosa has a recording that she says she recently made, that she secretly made of her firing by John Kelly.
"We've got to talk to you about leaving the White House. It's come to my attention over the last few months that there's been some pretty, in my opinion, significant integrity issues."
You're going to hear more of that recording in a moment. So Omarosa Manigault-Newman, former assistant to President Trump, director of communications for the White House Office of Public Liaison, joins me now.
Thank you for having me,
Welcome
Chuck.
To Read the Press. Let me start with what you describe in your book as a year-long effort to learn the truth about a rumor that Donald Trump had been caught on tape using the N-word while working on The Apprentice. And here's how you wrote about confirming with a source that the tape does in fact exist. Page 322 of your book. "On this phone conversation, I was told exactly what Donald Trump said. Yes, the N-word and others in a classic Trump goes nuclear rant. And when he'd said them, during production, he was mic'd, and there's definitely an audio track. For over a year, I'd been so afraid of hearing the specifics from someone who'd been in the room. Hearing the truth freed me from that fear." Did you hear the tape, or did you hear a description of the tape?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on. And in this book, I describe this long journey of hearing these rumors over and over again. And when I had an opportunity to meet up with three different sources, they describe the same exact statements. After I closed the book, I had an opportunity to go out in Los Angeles and sit down with the person who actually has a copy of the tape. And I heard his voice as clear as you and I are sitting
you
here.
You have heard the tape?
I have heard the
tape. Since publication of this book?
Absolutely.
So you know it exists?
And I know it exists. And what I regret is that these people are probably trying to leverage it as this October surprise. I don't want to be a part of that. But I have heard for 2 years that it existed. And once I heard it for myself, it was confirmed what I feared the most, that Donald Trump is a con and has been masquerading as someone who is actually open to engaging with diverse communities. But when he talks that way, the way he did on this tape, it confirmed that he is truly a racist.
So that right there was the exchange between Omarosa and the interviewer from Meet the Press. So we are hearing Omarosa describe and tell us what was life like in the White House. So my question to you, Marcia, is do you think she is a disgruntled employee or she just woke the hell up?
Well, I definitely don't think that she's, well, she might be a little disgruntled, but that's to be expected. I mean, right? I mean, come on, that would be human nature, right?
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I think she has woken up from a lot of the things maybe she was blinded by. She actually said she had a blind spot when it came to Donald Trump because she wanted to believe that there was something good in him. She wanted to believe the best of him. And we've all done it. Like, people have their biases. They've been blinded. And it could have been because of she wanted to further her career or her own personal interests. I mean, who really doesn't do that to some degree?
I think that she definitely wanted to further her career at the expense of her own people. I'm just going to be honest.
Okay.
I think it did get to a point where she was probably vocal about certain things that she's seen. And that didn't sit too well with individuals. And one of those individuals is the chief of staff, John Kelly. And we're going to hear from him a little later on in the broadcast. But I think that she was more than a disgruntled employee, that she was a spook who sat by the door.
Definitely.
And I think that she can tell us certain things that I don't think that we as a people need to know because it's already known. I just think that with these secret recorded conversations that...
She could bring it down. She could bring the whole thing down.
She could bring the whole thing. Not only can she bring the whole thing down, but more so than anything, she got receipts. And the reason why I said she can't bring the whole thing down is because Trump called Mexicans rapists.
Mm-hmm.
He called NFL players son of a bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Called Africa and third world and indigenous companies shithole place. So him saying the N-word, you know, and I heard them say, well, yo, if we can get that tape, this crosses the line. And, you know, we know people get fired and transferred and demoted for using that word. Listen, this is the United States of America. And they ain't going to do a damn thing to Trump for using the N-word.
Right. So there's a lot of things that you just kind of touched on there. Like saying that, you know, she sat there and allowed a lot of these things to happen and went along with it for the advancement of her own career. And now we're saying, like, wait a second, hold up. She could have been the spook who sat at the door to expose some things that you're saying we already knew. So what's really going on here? Is this another distraction? Is this just something to get us talking about? She's the queen of ratings. He said that she gives him ratings, right? Remember?
Nah, but these ain't the ratings that he want. He don't want this smoke.
He always likes smoke, though.
Not this
He
smoke.
Like negative. He's always getting into it with people.
Listen, he don't want this smoke. Because the reason why, and she make mention of that, is that that tape hasn't been public.
They're waiting November. For October.
In November, and they want to release this bombshell in October. And if they do release this bombshell, it will be a game changer.
Will it? Like you just said, is it necessary? No, we know.
It will be a game changer in regards to probably the votes and things like that. But as far as unseating him as the highest ranking officer in the United States? Absolutely not.
So votes on what scale? Because the majority of black people, we don't need to know. We already know he's a racist. We don't need to hear the tape.
I think anybody that doesn't publicly come out and rebuke him, such as Republicans.
So they're going to have to run for office.
Yeah, this will force their hand. But if you or anybody else out there believes that him using the N-word is going to unseat him from the president, being the president of the United States, then you are under a false illusion. Remember, presidents had slaves, all right? So we know the history of this nation, and him using the N-word is not going to unseat him. He's not going to be impeached for it or none of that.
It just strengthen his base? Like, I knew it. I knew he was just like us.
it might do that. Absolutely, it will do that. You know what I mean? And especially them seeing that he hasn't got fired for using the N-word.
So he's a super boss now.
It will further embolden them.
Okay.
You know what I mean? The Proud Boys, the KKK. Yeah, they'll be like, that's my guy.
Donald
Trump. Okay. So yeah, that's
crazy. Back to Omarosa, though. Like, so what is her position within the black community now? How are we to be, you know, to see her? Because I looked at the interviews and I was really impressed. I didn't like her when, you know, she was kicking it with Donald and, you know, had this relationship.
Can I stop you for a minute? You said when she was kicking it with Donald. Can we keep it real?
Yeah.
She was cooning with Donald.
Cooning?
Yeah. You don't want to use the word cooning?
I prefer not to, but if that's what you want to do, that's on you.
What about bed winching?
I'm just trying to use some of the words. Like he called her a dog and a lowlife.
Nah,
it's unacceptable. She's still...
I was just using some of the words that has been used to describe her in our community.
Traitor. I can go with traitor.
One thing that you don't ever want to do is you don't want to go against your people. You know what I mean? And when I say that, I'm saying, listen, there's some people you just have to go against. But when 99.9% of the people that look like you say, listen, what you doing is detrimental to us as a people. You don't need to be in that position. You're being used. You know what I mean?
She said that. She said she was being used by him, and she understands that now.
She understands that now.
Right.
But what was the aha moment? It couldn't have been you being fired.
It could have been an accumulation of things. Things that she seen while she was there. Her talking to her people. Sometimes things don't happen immediately. Like, you have to give people an opportunity to grow and to take in that information, that seed is planted, and then things keep happening. And then she wakes up one day. Can we appreciate that in her?
All right. Now, I like what you said, right? But two things that you said. Mm-hmm. One thing that you said, and that was earlier on in the conversation, that she came off very, very intelligent. Mm-hmm. We're not dealing with no idiot.
Oh yet. Yeah, she's,
you know, she's intelligent to know.
She's sharp.
From the onset. Yo, he's a racist. This is wrong, and I want no parts of it.
Okay,
you know, if it was somebody of low intelligence, mm-hmm. how he liked to describe us, or somebody that just, you know, maybe wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. I could see that. Mm-hmm. But with her, she knew better than
but
that.
But you know what? I think the smartest of us all, we are delusional sometimes because we are blinded by ambition. We see something, we like, oh man, if I can just get on that train, it'll take me to where I need to go. And that's all people see. They just see, you know, that target. You know, he can get me to where I need to go. And I think she saw that at that time. And mm-hmm. I think that she was blinded by her ambition and her self-interest. And, you know, a lot of people do that. It don't matter how intelligent you are. And usually it's the very intelligent ones who are delusional to that fact. Like, they separate themselves from the Black community thinking they can do this as an individual. But we all know now that you do need community. We need each other, especially if we're going to get out of the situation that we're in. At some point, it has to be communal. And maybe she woke up to that.
Absolutely. And one thing that I will say is that there's two sides to every coin. You was asking me about what people were feeling about her in the African-American community. There are those that are saying that this is the Amorosa that we know. Mm. Because, you know, Amorosa bring that smoke. And she always come with them receipts. This ain't the first time she recorded somebody, and we're going to talk about that a little later on as well. And I think that whatever she did, you know what I mean, to invoke this anger from our community, we need to welcome her back on home.
Yeah, I think that was
but
betrayal.
We need to see them receipts.
Yeah, you know well, what I mean? You know what?
And we know what she did, and she needs to be carefully watched. You know, mm-hmm. we need to put her, like, on probation or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like, yeah. For 3 years, we're going to watch you, and you're going to heavy scrutiny. But you are no longer barred from the family picnic. You can come by and just make sure you bring some barbecue sauce.
Right.
You know, keep that hot sauce in the swag.
Right. Like, we not going to forget, you know, that there was some betrayal there. So, we forgive you. But we haven't forgotten. And it's still on a limited basis, honey. Yeah. Like, you got to keep yourself together for a while.
Absolutely, man. How many of our celebrities and athletes, mm-hmm. you know, go out and, you know, make asinine statements? Hell, look what Kanye West said.
Yeah.
And y'all still went out and bought his album and his Yeezy sneakers. So if he can say that, and he ain't come with no receipts, he ain't help us at all. He's still cooning for Donald Trump, if you want to call it that. But at least Omarosa came back with some receipts.
She came back with some fire. Like, wait a second. You thought you was going to threaten me? Like,
see, that's another thing, man. You cannot do that to the Black woman, man.
And you know what? I was tripping. Like, people were saying, oh, look at all the ethical violations she did. She took a recording device into the...
So what?
Honey, please. She was like, I had to protect myself. I know what I'm dealing with. They would have said I was a crazy Black woman. They would have said this and that. Now I got receipts. Now I had this recording.
Gloves are off. All gloves are off when it's warfare, man. Come on. They ain't playing fair with her.
Right.
You know what I mean? They are not playing fair. They made an actual threat to her. And y'all going to hear that recording as well. The chief of staff took her in the situation room. And he explained to her, listen, this is the protocols. This is how we doing it if you want to have a friendly departure. And he was like, listen, look at your service here at the White House as you serving your nation.
Right.
Keep your mouth shut, you know, do what's right for you, and
maybe your reputation will stay intact.
Yeah, and don't create no type of difficulty, because in the future, it'll be relative to your reputation being here at the White House. So that means, listen, they was
but
not
you know
playing.
What? If you
and then you know what? Not to cut you off, if she would have came out and said that the handkerchief head Negroes that would have said, you know, there's no way that this powerful white man is going to be unprofessional and unethical and threaten this woman.
You're talking about John Kelly.
Yeah, that he wouldn't threaten her in that regards. So guess what? She got receipts. She has proof that this conversation actually happened. And it was planned and it's strategically worded. But clearly, you can see it was a threat. You know, no one releases their employee, takes them in a room, locks the door, tell them they can't confer with their husband, their lawyers, really give them their walking papers.
I know, because he also, the way he was coming at her, but if you paid attention to how she handled herself, not only with John Kelly, but even these interviewers during her book tour, she has something that is, I think that we all can look at as a teachable moment. Like just the way that she spars and she uses her intelligence, whether or not we, you know, agree with how she uses it, I just think she has a skill and a talent that we need to see more of in our community if we're going to be able to compete and deal with these people on a certain level.
Absolutely. Espionage, sabotage, whatever they're doing, and come and bring back that information. But, you know, one thing that hasn't really been talked about, and you mentioned about people in uproar about, you know, this is a national security violation. But what people are not speaking about is the safety of this sister now that she blew the lid off.
Yeah.
And I think we as a people, we need to pour ourselves into her and around her and show her love and let her know and let the world know under no uncertain terms are you going to lay hands on this woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think it's not only for her, but to show the world that we will protect our black women. And that will give other individuals
in those positions to speak out.
Absolutely.
And to be courageous in those moments.
Absolutely.
But one thing that I didn't understand, and I hate when they're so vague like this, and they do it a lot of the times when they're dealing with us. He said that she was being let go because of integrity violations. And no one really knows what that is. No one has really talked about what are they talking about?
See,
what
when they use
violations?
When they use those type of words, integrity violations, it's ambiguous.
Very.
And you can actually read into it. And like she was saying, what are you talking about? Oh, I took the company's car to a public game to the ballpark.
Right.
You know.
But old boy beats his wife, and you calling him a good man?
Yeah. But I violated because I took a car that belonged to the company and used it on a Sunday. Yeah, you know what I mean? So little things like that, which really wouldn't warrant a dismissal. It could be a warning or a reprimand. So, yeah, they try to use, you know, little.
But she said that they
language.
Were looking to get her out, like trying to find little things. And since she was so close to President Trump, you know, she was his personal assistant. Do you think that they just felt like they just needed to get her out because she was I don't understand. Like, what do you think that they really was trying to get her out on? Because
listen, we're dealing with racism and white supremacy. And one of the things that she said, which
he would ask her to get information for her.
And not only that, I think when you have someone of that intelligence, someone who is outspoken,
mm-hmm.
and that's in a position that's close to the president, they don't want that.
In his ear.
First of all, you're a threat because you're black anyway.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Then you're a triple threat because you're a black woman, you know what I mean, who don't have a problem speaking your mind. So as she pointed out, that there is not one single person of African-American descent that's in a senior position in
right.
the White House, and
right.
there's hundreds and possibly thousands of people that work for the White House
mm-hmm.
that's in those senior positions, and not one of them is black. That speaks volumes, right?
Right.
And this hasn't happened in 51 years that there hasn't been one black person that's been in a senior position. You know, hell, we say George Bush hated black people, right? But he had what's the sister's name?
Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice. You got it right on point. You had her. Mm-hmm. Colin Powell. You know what I mean? And there was other, there was racist presidents, and a lot of them are racist, that had black people in certain type of position.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of them was in senior positions as advisors.
And she even mentioned too, like people were asking her what took her so long to leave after Trump had did all of these things that seemingly was racist. Mm-hmm. And she responded that she was in fear that they would not replace her with another African-American person to represent the community. She was like that they are making decisions about us without us. And, you know, maybe that's something that was very important to her.
And also, you know, the same people, right? I want y'all to ask yourself this. The ones that are saying, why did she stay? She should have been left. Soon as she heard this, she should have left. Why she waited till this happened? She should have left when he called the NFL players son of bitches. He should have left after the Charlottesville situation. How many of y'all left when y'all was in domestic violence situations?
Or people want to leave their jobs now, but they can't because they are stuck having to pay bills and you need that check. You know, I mean, there's so many different reasons why people go against their ethics and what they really want. You know, I mean, that's one thing I do respect about Kanye when he was saying that we kind of slaves to it. We are a slave to the system. So for people who want to speak up and they want to speak out, they can't. Why? They worried about their job. You know what I'm saying? They're worried about if they're going to get fired or not. So people have different reasons for why they stay in situations that's not ideal.
And on another flip note too, and we're going to play that as well, Omarosa, once she was fired, she was offered some money to be quiet.
Non-disclosure agreement.
And they wanted her to sign a non-disclosure agreement, but she was gonna still be a part of the campaign trail where she was making $180,000 to be on the chief of staff, not the chief of staff, she
to be a
was
part
the director of,
him. Of
African American outreach for the president, and she was receiving $180,000 a year in that position. She was going to get that same amount of money working on the campaign trail, whether she went out and campaigned for him or not. They told her, listen, you can stay home. You can just release statements.
So it's basically keep quiet money, $15,000 a month.
You're still going to get the money. We just don't need your face.
Right.
You know what I mean? Your face card ain't good here no more. But you know a little too much for us just to let you go. So we're going to need you to just chill out.
Right.
So I don't think it was a money thing, but I'm telling you this. She hit the jackpot with that book. She's gonna make a whole lot of money.
Hopefully so. But I heard a lot of black people, even some, you know, of our friends like Angela Rye, like talking about they're not gonna read the book. But I think this is so important for us to talk about this for a second, because even if we don't agree with her, I do think that there's still some information, some knowledge that we can pick up to help us in our situation. Just because we don't agree with her don't mean we can't learn nothing from her. So I just want to push back on that for all the people who saying how much they hate her, how they despise her. It don't mean you can't learn from her, because she's been in certain rooms. She's been in certain situations that we don't have privy to. So we can pick up some information that we would never be able to otherwise.
Absolutely. But I don't know if any of that information is going to help us. I just think that it is information that we can use, so that we know what type of people we're dealing with. And, well, I guess it can help us if we're going to use it for that. And it also could dictate to us what's the necessary steps that we need to take. But before we go to a commercial break, you were showing me an interview with April Ryan.
April Ryan, I think this was back when all this took place, when they were kicking out Omarosa. Are you talking about that?
No, not that interview. Recently, there's an interview with that just came out after Omarosa dropped the bombshell. And I was very disappointed in April Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
In this interview, they know that her and
April have history.
Yeah, they had history, and they're not the best of friends. So they used her as a pawn.
Exploited.
And she is on there talking about, I spoke to the leader of the Democratic Security and Council, and we need to really look into our security violations. We're so concerned about Russia. You know, she has sensitive information where she could have recorded and... You,
stop it.
Like, yo, come on, stop it, man. Stop it. For real, for real. You're not even looking at... Maybe there is a tape with him using the N-word. You so worried about, like, they...
She seems jaded. Like, it just seems like, you know, they fell out when they fell out. And maybe Omarosa was making moves that she didn't have privy to know what she was doing and didn't appreciate how Omarosa was getting down. I just don't, you know, think that it's really in our best interest for her to sick people on Omarosa. Like, you know, just let things... If the white man or, the, you know, the people in power feel like that they need to come for Omarosa, let them. They don't need your assistance. They don't need you to tell them what to do.
You know what would be a boss move?
What?
If both of them reconcile their differences.
Yeah.
April Ryan is not a fool.
Yeah, I like
nobody
her.
Nobody expects, right?
Mm-hmm.
If both of them was to sit in a room and put aside their differences... And both of them come together. That would be a force to reckon with.
That would be amazing.
And we need that sister love. And it's a shame that they're using her as a tool and also a slave.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You're being used as a
You're
tool
doing the work for them. I just, you know.
So what we're going to do is we're going to play that clip of her really doing the bidding for these evil oligarchs that are running the empire. And you know it's an empire and it's a corporation. And we're going to play that clip too where Omarosa actually gets Donald Trump on the phone. But before we play that clip, let's go back to the clip of Omarosa in the Situation Room when she actually got fired.
Had you ever heard him? Were you ever in his presence when he used a racial slur?
You know, I was in his presence when he said inappropriate things, but he has never said the N-word in my presence ever.
All right, let me move on, because you said that the betrayal, the idea that he might have used this word, that it would be this betrayal because you thought it would mean that he might have used it about you.
Oh,
do
absolutely.
You believe he used it about you?
Possibly, because Donald Trump talks about everyone behind their backs. You leave the room, Chuck, he has a nickname probably for you. He has a nickname for everyone in his administration and in his circle. So I am pretty certain that he's probably said some very derogatory things about me. In fact, yesterday, on this moment before Charlottesville, the anniversary of Charlottesville, instead of talking about how to unify the nation, he actually insulted me by calling me a lowlife. That is a man who is inclined to start racially charged engagement and use race to kind of stir up his base.
Here's what I think a lot of people are going to have trouble with. He has said a lot of racial things. He said a lot of racial things during the campaign, calling Mexican rapists, attacking a federal judge because he was Hispanic. You even talk about his obsession with the, quote, Central Park 5 mythology there, retweeting false crime statistic. All of that was taking place. And you said you acknowledged that he did things that were racial, that he used race to manipulate people. Mm-hmm. You've said all those things. And then you wrote this in December of 2016. I am living the American dream because of Donald Trump. Look at my career, the wealth and exposure that I've had. It's very difficult to make the argument that Donald Trump doesn't like black people and black women.
Absolutely. Being used by Donald Trump for so long, I was like the frog in the hot water. You don't know that you're in that situation until it just keeps bubbling and bubbling. It's clear in hindsight, because hindsight, of course, is 2020. But as I talk about in Unhinged, you get to see from 2003, when I first met Donald Trump, the evolution of a very unique relationship between he and I. And I talk very, very intimately about the things that he said, his pledge to do more for the community, his, as I said, investment in my own career. But what I know now, I didn't have the benefit of in 2003 or 2004 or 2010. And so, yes, it is hindsight. But I will say this to you, I was complicit with this White House deceiving this nation. They continue to deceive this nation by how mentally declined he is, how difficult it is for him to process complex information, how he is not engaged in some of the most important decisions that impacts our country. I was complicit, and for that, I regret.
Well, one of those moments of complicity took place after Charlottesville. Were you fired or did you resign? What's the story? What do we call this?
It's pretty clear from that recording that John Kelly came in and said, this is the end. We want you to leave. But what's interesting is They take me into the Situation Room. The doors are locked. They tell me I can't leave. And they start to threaten me, put fear in me, to put me under duress.
Look, I want to play this tape, but I'm curious. How is it you recorded the chief of staff?
Absolutely.
The White House chief of staff,
yes,
in the Situation Room.
Yes.
And this takes place before the Christmas party.
In the Situation Room.
And you're prepared in a moment's notice to record him? Or were you planning to record him the minute you found out you had this meeting?
Well, no. First of all, like I said, I'm the only African-American there. When you walk into a meeting with John Kelly, who's refused to meet with me the whole time he's there, in the Situation Room, Chuck, mm-hmm, we're not going in there to talk about, you know, parking or scheduling issues.
You knew this was
we're going in there
job.
To talk about something very
you
serious.
You prepared the tape.
I was prepared because, first of all, John Kelly had been very vocal about trying to find a reason to let me go. He had gone to the press instead of coming to me, never given me an opportunity to meet with him. So the question is, why not have the meeting in the chief of staff's office? Why put me in the Situation Room, lock the door, and tell me over and over again, as they'll hear, well, they'll hear his
yes.
part, that I couldn't leave, that I couldn't consult an attorney, that I couldn't talk to my husband who was sitting outside of the door. Yes, I was prepared. And as you'll see in Unhinged.
How often did you tape people?
Wait, Chuck. As you'll see in Unhinged, I protected myself because this is a White House where everybody lies. The president lies to the American people. Sarah Huckabee stands in front of the country and lies every single day. You have to have your own back because otherwise you'll look back and you'll see 17 knives in your back.
It looks
That's
that
not
you
disloyalty.
People, that
That's
you
not disloyalty because
with?
Let me tell you, Chuck, if I did not have this recording,
yeah,
people would still believe the false incredible story that I was running around the White House, the false story that was told by a reporter and repeated by this network and other reporters that I tried to charge right. the residents of the White House. And it's a lie. If I didn't have this recording, listen,
yep,
people would still think that I was trying to set off alarms. So, yes, I had to protect myself and I have no regret about it.
Let's listen to the recording.
I think it's important to understand that if we make this a friendly departure, we can all be, you know, you can look at your time here in the White House as a year of service to the nation, and then you can go on without any type of difficulty in the future relative to your reputation.
How did you take that comment about your reputation?
It's very obvious a threat. He goes on to say that things can get ugly for you. The chief of staff of the United States, under the direction of the president of the United States, threatening me on damage to my reputation and things getting ugly for me. That's downright criminal. And if I didn't have these recordings, no one in America would believe me. No one. So I protected myself, and I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad I did. Because now we can put to bed all those false rumors that one reporter stated and the false reports that were spread around by the media.
All right, let me play the portion where you jump in and have a conversation with Mr.
Please.
Miller.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Is the president aware of what's going on?
Let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion.
I don't want to negotiate. Okay. I've never had a chance to talk to you, General Kelly.
Yeah,
so if this is my departure, I'd like to have at least an opportunity to understand.
We can talk another time. This has to do with some pretty serious integrity violations. So I'll let it go with that. So the staff and everyone on the staff works for me, not the president.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to go to the actual recording of Donald Trump, who allegedly says he didn't know that Amber Rose was going to be fired.
Omarosa Manigault Newman has released new audio of a phone call she says she had with the president of the United States the day after she was fired by Chief of Staff John Kelly. Listen to this.
Omarosa, what's going on? I just saw in the news that you're thinking about leaving. What happened?
General Kelly. General Kelly came to me and said that you guys wanted me to leave.
No, I nobody even told me about it. Nobody,
wow.
You know, they run a big operation, but I didn't know it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
God damn it.
And
oh,
he was
yeah.
Like, hey, him I sounding... heard they had to let you go today.
Like, he don't know what's going on.
And he was like, hey, you know, it's a lot of people. This is a big corporation. And
sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear that. You know, I don't make all the decisions. I just delegate people. And this is a big
corporation.
What did
he say, son of a bitch? Like, did he say something like that? As if he didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, he was frightened. We're going to play that. And we're going to play some more things. So y'all stay tuned. This is Necessary Blackness Podcast. And I am your host, Raheem Shabazz. And I'm sitting here with
Marcia from Civil Rights and Civil Wrongs.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Everybody wants to know how they could get in contact with me. If you want to get in contact with me, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Raheem Shabazz. That's the handle. Also, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page, Necessary Blackness Podcast.
Yo, check out the award-winning docuseries, Elementary Genocide. This docuseries provides a critical expose of mass incarceration, the war on drugs, and the connection between slavery, capitalism, and the prison industrial complex. This docuseries features Dr. Umar Johnson, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Killer Mike, David Banner, Professor James Small, Kaba Kamene, and so many other people. Check out Elementary Genocide, the school-to-prison pipeline, Elementary Genocide 2, the Board of Education versus the Board of Incarceration, and the latest installment, Elementary Genocide 3, the Academic Holocaust. It's all available now at elementarygenocide.com.
Tune in for the drop.
I am Dr. Kira Taylor. And when I'm tired of listening to fake news, I will listen to some real news, and I will check in to the Necessary Blackness Podcast with my friend Raheem Shabazz.
Raheem Shabazz is one of my guys from way back, and you're now listening to his show, Necessary Blackness Podcast. Stay tuned.
This is Akua of Cultivated Roots Media, and I choose to tune in to Necessary Blackness because staying connected to my blackness is very necessary.
Yo, that's what I'm talking about, man.
You'll hear it here first.
Now our feature presentation.
Empower Black Family, we are back from our quick commercial break and our quick audio break. And that right there was Donald Trump. And Donald Trump was acting, or rather pretending, that he didn't know Omarosa was fired. And in his word, he heard about it in the news. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's just him being an actor, just doing another performance. And it seemed like Omarosa knew exactly the game that he was trying to play. So just pretending like he didn't know that other people were in charge and he didn't really call the shots, that they called the shots. So
what did he say? He said they run a big corporation?
He said, yeah, they run a big operation around here. So, you know, I ain't really know about what they was about to do. So
the operative word is they. So a lot of times individuals say that the president has no power and he's working for the corporation because the United States is a corporation. And now we have proof. Maybe they are right. Mm-hmm. They. So the operative word is they. We got to find out who they is. But I think I already know.
The powers that be.
Oh, it's more than the powers that be. Yeah, it's more than the powers that be. But that's another story for another subject.
Well, you know, in the Washington Post article, after she edited a tape of our altercation in the West Wing that I detail in my book, factually, she passed the tapes around, and she said that is what we do. Meaning, that's what everyone, including the President of the United States, does, tapes people. But here's the problem. If indeed these tapes are factual, and I believe them to be credible, I was on Twitter today, and I was reading some of the tweets, and I saw something from David Frum after the Meet the Press interview. And I called Congressman Elijah Cummings, Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings, who is the minority leader in the Government and Oversight Reform Committee in the House. And he said if indeed these tapes are there and they were taped in the Situation Room and the Oval Office and other places, this is a national security issue and he's looking into it. National security protocols were not followed. Omarosa says that she has taped in the Oval Office and in the Situation Room. We've heard the tapes. Now, I've talked to people from former administrations, and they've said you are not allowed, and I know this for a fact, when we go into OTRs with a president or a senior official, we have to put our cell phones in these cubby holes in the Roosevelt Room. In the Oval Office, you're not supposed to tape. You're not supposed to bring your cell phone. In the Situation Room, you're not supposed to bring your cell phone. In the Roosevelt Room, you're not supposed to bring your cell phone. You're not supposed to have your cell phone in the office of the chief of staff, and you're not supposed to have your cell phone in the National Security Office. And this leads leads to a broader question. Are national security protocols being followed in this White House? Because, you know, we're talking about Russia. Now you got to worry about Omarosa and then others who might have cell phones taping things and they could be hacked. So this is not just about a book and getting paid for a book and telling all. You know, if she did the tapes, you know, we hear voices and everything. You don't know if they're edited or not. But the bottom line, and there's a credibility issue with her. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a credibility issue with everyone, but there are tapes. And this is a national security issue. This is not just about a book anymore. She's giving receipts and she's now in trouble.
Okay. But you know, I want to move on to another topic.
Okay. And what's that topic?
So we got to pay respect.
Oh, yes, definitely.
To the queen.
To the queen.
The queen of soul.
All hail the queen.
Aretha Franklin.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't know that she was also known as a daughter of the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And that her father, actually, he led a demonstration in Detroit. And did you hear about that?
I vaguely heard about it.
So I guess he organized the 1963 Detroit Walk to Freedom. And, you know, ever since a young girl, she was involved with civil rights. And many people said that she used to house civil rights leaders and actually helped them fundraise.
Now, I do know that when Angela Davis was locked up, one of the things that she said publicly to Jet Magazine was that I'm going to pay her bail. I don't care if it's 1,000, 100,000 or $200,000. I'm going to pay it. And just so happened she was on tour. And when she came back, Angela Davis was no longer in confinement. Some liberal white guy got out of jail.
Somebody else did it. Okay.
Well, they said that her father was... He was kind of like in opposition to that. And she was like, nah, I don't care. This is a black woman. She's out here fighting for our freedom. And I'm going to do what's possible in order to make sure that she remains free. Get out and be free.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's very unfortunate, you know, that the sister transition. What was it? It happened Friday, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, Friday. I know that entire day.
It was a lot of, it wasn't clear. It was not clear about if she was actually in the hospital and if she was kind of like on her deathbed. I heard reports.
Yeah, it was a little sketchy, but when she did actually transition, the radio station, man, they showed her a lot of love.
All day.
Yeah, Apollo Theater showed her a lot of love.
Playing her music.
And, just playing her music like nonstop. And it just goes to show you the magnitude and the body of work that she had. Because for like almost 3 hours, it was like a Aretha Franklin marathon. And, you know, just like they did it for Prince, they did it for Michael Jackson, New York City, Harlem, USA, always show out, you know, for our celebrities, our icons, and our stars. And they have something tomorrow here in Atlanta, and I think I'm going to go out to that. It's going to be at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. And I'm definitely going to go out to that and check that out.
So with all of this honoring and celebration, you know, after she has passed, do you think that they, you know, we have done a good job celebrating her life while she's been alive?
In regards to Aretha Franklin, I would say absolutely. She was always held in high esteem. There was never a time that I know of where she wasn't honored and praised wherever she went.
Right.
You know.
Because she demanded it too, though.
Absolutely. And, you know, her first hit was in 1967, I think when she was 17 years old.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Absolutely. And she wasn't playing no games with it. So someone of that magnitude, how else could you not respect her?
Right.
And I think more sisters... And not just sisters, entertainers, period, needs to demand that type of respect. Especially when you stand on the right side of history. It's a given.
Right.
You know, as you said, that she's considered the daughter of the civil rights movement.
And that song was actually known as the anthem of the civil rights movement. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yeah. So when you do things like that, you know, you're always going to be on the right side of history. And that was in 1967. And she didn't miss a beat since then. And she never changed, never withered in her approach. And she was always unapologetic. Mm. You know,
that's even how you gotta be.
After you made it, she was always unapologetic. And it's not like today's celebrity. You know, they act like they're afraid of their blackness. And at the end of the day, man, it's what you want to be remembered for. And she's going to be remembered as one of the best that ever did it, one that stood her ground, one that was for her people. And 100 years from now, we're going to still be playing honoring that song.
Her, right.
We're going to be honoring her, and her legacy and her tradition lives on.
The queen.
So shout out to Aretha Franklin and
rest in power.
Rest respectfully. R-E-S-P-C-T.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
All right. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Right.
You know I had to spell it like Birdman. Put some respect on my name.
What you gotta do.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do, man. You gotta put some respect on the name. So is there anything else you wanna talk about?
Well, there's not really a ton that I wanna talk about. I mean, it's just been so busy. Like, so you know, busy. With the death of Aretha and this Trump stuff that keeps us going. I did hear a story that's a little, you know, off, but it's about Stormy Daniels. I don't know if you feel like getting into that, but we ain't gonna get into that,
man. We just gave praises and honor to the Queen, so we gonna leave on a positive note, man. We not even gonna get into that. But ladies and gentlemen, I want y'all to check out this video, and you know what? I'm gonna post the audio from it. That's what we gonna leave with. I'm going to show you what a boss does, right?
Okay.
You seen the video of Aretha Franklin where she was being interviewed?
In
and
AS.
Was like, yo, I'm going to say a name and you respond to it? You
right. Seen that video? Yeah, I seen it.
Yeah.
At least she keeping it real, yeah, being
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, she was keeping it real because she could have been politically correct. And, you know, she was like, I'll pass on that one.
Yeah.
So you know what she felt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she had enough respect to say, you know what? I'm not even going to do it.
I'm not going to play this game with y'all.
Yeah, I'm not even like, going to do that to another black woman. But what I ain't going to do is I ain't going to put that stamp of approval on.
Right.
You know what I mean? But so she was smart enough to know not to
engage
in cat fights with her sister. And I think that's a lesson that people could take from her.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Class.
Yeah, class.
She was classy with that one.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Christopher John Farley, a senior editor at the Wall Street Journal. I'm here with Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul. Now, since your new album is about divas, I wanted to sort of throw out a few names of divas and sort of get your one-word reaction, sort of get your impression of various singers. So when I say that the name Adele, what comes to mind?
Mm-hmm. Young singer, good singer.
Alicia Keys.
Young performer, good writer, producer.
Taylor Swift.
Okay, great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Whitney Houston.
Whitney was a talent, definitely a talent. She had a gift. And Sissy's Baby.
And let's sort of change genres a little bit.
Nicki Minaj, I'm going to pass on that one.